This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The Sundance Film Festival lineup has a relatively low number of female filmmakers this year. And frankly, that doesn't come as a total surprise. Filmmaking is often seen as a male art form. But a festival at Full Frame Theater in Durham is taking a look at creating a space for women filmmakers. Alice Fest 2014 showcases short films and developing films by women around the world. The festival takes place Sunday, March 9th at the Full Frame Theater in Durham. And we're going to speak with the founder and two filmmakers affiliated with that festival. Vivian Bowman-Edwards is the founder and coordinator of Alice Fest. Vivian, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Carol Bash, a New York-based filmmaker. She's producing the upcoming film Mary Lou Williams, The Lady Who Swings the Band. Welcome, Carol. And Camden Watts is a local filmmaker and the director of short films Trophy and Landfill Dogs Behind the Scenes. Camden, welcome.
Thank you.
We're working on getting Carol Bash on the program in just a minute. But Vivian, tell us about the idea for this film festival.
Alice Fest was an idea that I'd had for a number of years. I'm a filmmaker. I love films. I love looking at films, talking about films. But I didn't see enough stories about women. And that paired with my interest in women's history, the idea sort of organically grew to have a film festival that featured stories about women by women directors.
What do you think is accounts for the fact that we see relatively fewer women in the film industry?
I think that, if you go back to the history of cinema, in the first 20 years of Hollywood filmmaking in the 1900s up to the 1920s, there were a lot of women in filmmaking. But the big studios came in, and they were composed of men, and they found out you can make money with film. And along about that time, a lot of the indie studios, which were headed by women, one headed by Elise Guy Blaché, for whom our festival is named, they just didn't have the money to make the deals with the theaters for distribution. So they pretty much left all of filmmaking. And so men were in charge.
Yeah.
And I think that it sort of became an industry headed by men and with fewer and fewer women learning the art of filmmaking. And until recently, when people could buy their own camera and make a film, there have been very few. I think 7% of directors are women even now. So I think that is slowly changing, but it's still a big disparity.
Well, it's interesting. If you think the very earliest days of the film industry around the turn of the century, films were largely, in this country anyway, produced by immigrants for immigrants, and they were roughly documentaries. They were about life as it was, documenting
right.
everyday existence. When the studios took over, the way to make money was to create aspiration, films about aspiration, and that meant building on a type in which women had a different role than they were actually playing, making these households work in these families. So it's a fascinating change of culture and a whole change of perspective. Carol Bash is on the phone with us now. She's a New York-based filmmaker producing the upcoming film Mary Lou Williams, The Lady Who Swings the Band. Hello, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Tell us about Mary Lou Williams.
Well, Mary Lou Williams was an unsung jazz giant. Basically, she was well-known in the 30s and 40s. She composed, arranged for the Andy Kirk Band, which was a big popular swing band at the time. She was a pianist as well, so she was an instrumentalist. And then her going through the 50s, she was a mentor to many of the jazz icons that we know of, such as Dizzy Gillespie and Thelonious Monk. And then basically in the 60s, she brought jazz into the Catholic Church. So she has lived three or four different lives, but still is relatively unknown to the general public and even to some jazz lovers.
Let me ask you, how did you find out about her?
Well, I found out about her because luckily my father-in-law is a jazz fan and loved her music, and so I'd say 10 years ago when I walked into my in-law's house, she was playing on the stereo, and I was just fascinated by this fresh-sounding music and asked who she was, what was playing, and my father-in-law said, "That's Mary Lou Williams. She's one of the greats." And that just started a kind of curiosity in my head, and then a book came out about her a year later, a biography, and read the biography, and I said, you know, this woman's life is so incredible. I just have to take up the cause and really try to do a documentary film on her.
Well, here is a clip from that film.
Mary Lou was always bucking against what the norm was and trying to expand this notion of what jazz was. She didn't want to be boxed in. She didn't want to be labeled.
Her contribution to this music make her a pioneer, irrespective of gender. But Mary Lou Williams is not well known because she's a woman.
That's Carol Bash's film, at least a clip from Mary Lou Williams, the lady who swings the band, and it's going to be screened March 9th at Full Frame Theater as part of Alice Fest. Carol, there were women who were very well known. There were women like Lena Horne and you know Hazel Scott and other great names in jazz. But there was something about her kind of out front nature, I guess, that got her pushed to the side. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I think, you know, she was one of these people who was just a true artist, and so she wasn't into the imaging that it took to be a star, quote-unquote. You know, she wasn't an entertainer. You know, she really just wanted to come out and play her music and have her music be the message. And, you know, not so different than today. You know, a lot of it really has to do with marketing and imaging and your how you present yourself. And she wasn't really about that. And I think that probably had something that probably played against her on a certain level. You know, she was touted as maybe being a little difficult to handle.
Camden Watts, tell us about, you've got two films in Alice Fest this year. Tell us about them.
Well, one is an iPhone documentary. It's an experiment to prove that you can use the tools that you have. Most often what you have in your back pocket can tell a story. And it's about Mary Shannon Johnstone, who was my professor when I attended Meredith College. She's working on a project using her talent as a photographer to take pictures of shelter dogs. And I really fell in love with her project and blogged about it in May of last year. And that sort of evolved. She got a lot of national coverage, which just makes me so happy. And
tell us about the landfill dogs and the project. It's sure. The initial project. Yeah.
So she's using her talent as a photographer to take pictures of shelter dogs. And the goal is to take pictures of dogs that are still alive, that still need a home. And if they don't find a home, they are euthanized and they end up in the landfill. Just the way that the county manages that with the shelter and the landfill. And so instead of taking a negative approach, she wanted to do something where it empowered people to take action. And it's amazing. Every dog she photographs now finds a home so quickly.
And they are heroic images juxtaposed against the background of this landfill, mm-hmm. right? So that's part of the genius of the film and the shots. And of course, we'll have them up at our website, stateofthings.org. You can see some of them. But that inspired you then to make the film.
It did. I wanted to follow her lead. She's using her talent as a photographer, and I thought I could use my talent as a filmmaker to tell her story in a way that made it possible to access quickly, so that people could continue helping adopt dogs. So that made me really happy.
Well, that's great. And in a way, and tell us about your other film too, because that is, sure. Is not a documentary as such.
No, it's not. It's my first fiction film and it's a comedy short. It's very short, but it was a way to get together with friends and shoot something and learn what it's like to work together and take something I've written and produce it and make it actually come to life. And so that's a first for me, and it's really exciting.
Tell us about Trophy.
The idea is that moment when you walk into a bar and you lock eyes with strangers. What happens next? Is it love at first sight? Do you just ignore each other? Sort of what happens from there. And it's just a fun little short.
It's a very short film. We actually have 30% of the movie, I think, right here. Let's listen.
I'm on my second. How long are you going to be babysitting your drink?
I'm ready right now. What you want to do? Shots?
I'm down. You guys ready for another round?
Shots. Line them up.
coming up, Playboy.
There we go. A little clip from Trophy, going to be featured at Alice Fest this Sunday. You know, we're talking about, in Carol's case, and Carol, we'll be back to you in a second. We're not talking around your back here, but Carol's a filmmaker who's done a film about a woman struggling for recognition. Your films aren't necessarily about women, but they are about voice and about recognition in some ways.
Yes, that's right. So my experience has been very different from a lot of filmmakers. I went to school for graphic design and photography and just have always loved filmmaking and jumped into it headfirst without knowing much about how to do it. So I've created the teams that I want to work with, both men and women, which has allowed me to choose the stories that I want to tell. And that's rare and wonderful, but it's a part of indie filmmaking, which is something that I absolutely love.
Do you think there are real impediments and barriers for women in the film industry?
You know, I can only tell you what my experience is like. For me, it was a big learning curve. And right now I'm working on resources, so finances to pay people so that when somebody does a good job, I can actually pay them to do it so they can continue earning a living. So that's the biggest challenge for me right now.
Carol, what's your experience?
Well, my experience is that I basically started in journalism at CBS News and then realized that I wanted to be a filmmaker instead of a news reporter, and went back and got my master's at the media studies, and then became an independent filmmaker. I was lucky to get working with very well-known documentary filmmakers, and that has been my, I guess you could say, my stomping ground until I decided that I wanted to branch out and do my own documentary on Mary Lou.
Do you think there are barriers for women in the film industry?
You know, I feel like in the documentary world, not as much. I feel that there are a lot of documentary producers and directors and camera people who are women. I would say that's probably a lot less so in the feature world, but I'm not a part of that world, so I really can't speak on that. But I would say for documentaries, not so much.
Yeah, and I wonder how much that has to do with the changing technology. I mean, Camden, if you can shoot, you know, films on your iPhone, again, if we get back to the transition from films as DIY films about everyday life in America back in the early teens to an industry that is going to promote an aspiration financed by men, you're going to see the vision and the aspiration and the prejudices of men reflected in those feature films, and it was expensive to make a movie. Does the technology, you know, allow women to, you know, get into this industry? But what about and really then the question is, in feature films where we're looking at the hopes and dreams of America and its prejudices, is that something that women, we are all going to have to work harder to get women involved in?
Well, I can tell you, you know, we were just coming off of the Oscars, and one of the things I loved about what Kate Blanchett said was, you know, women in film, both in front of and behind the camera, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but, you know, she said, people will pay to go see movies where there are women, strong women characters. And so if we can do more of that, I think that helps all of us as a society.
Carol, do you feel that you're still in this world where you're having to define yourself as a female, as a woman filmmaker? And will there be a day when, you know, when we can, will there be a post-gender filmmaking world?
I hope so. Absolutely. I think it really, you know, as Mary Lou, it's really battled. It's really all about your merit. I can't say that I'm battling, but I do feel that, you know, as a woman female, as a woman filmmaker, you definitely have to bring your A game. I would say with any filmmaker, but you have to sort of fight that battle of proving a little bit harder that you know what you're doing, you can take command of the set, and you can just control what's going on behind the scenes of the camera. So, you know, it's a work in progress, but I think I really have to acknowledge Alice Fest and Vivian for taking up that mantle of promoting women filmmakers and the work that we do to a larger audience.
Vivian, tell us about some of the other films in this festival.
We have a great variety of films. We have 15 short films, short meaning under 10 minutes. We have some trailers for upcoming films, and we have couple of works in progress. We have some films that are humorous, some more serious. We have a film about a woman in Brazil named Pamela Castro, who speaks up about domestic violence. And we have a film about called The Reedy Creek Project, The Reedy River Project, excuse me, about a group of women in a garden club who 50 years ago decided to clean up the polluted river that ran through their city. And after 50 years, they, well, in the film, you'll see the results. So we have stories about women, and their accomplishments, and that's one of the reasons that we have the festival in March, because it's in celebration of Women's History Month, to add more stories to women's history. We have also, each year we choose one woman to salute and to recognize for her activism and for the things that she does in her own community. And this year we've selected Ellie Kinnaird, and we'll be showing a 15-minute film about her life, about her last year in the General Assembly in North Carolina. And that film is by Martha Moore.
It's fantastic. We're all looking forward to it. Thank you so much for being on the program. Vivian Bowman Edwards, the founder and coordinator of Alice Fest. Thank you, Vivian.
Hey, you're welcome. Nice to be here.
Carol Bash is a filmmaker and producing the upcoming film Mary Lou Williams, The Lady Who Swings the Band. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Camden Watts, a filmmaker and director of the short films Trophy and Landfill Dogs, behind the scenes. Thanks a lot, Camden.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. By the way, the festival this Sunday, March 9th, Full Frame Theater. It's called Alice Fest. It's going to be this Sunday the 9th at Full Frame in Durham, and we have all the information at stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Megan Mataferre, and Anita Rao. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.